Welcome to episode 62 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile in the Discord. And as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how are you doing this evening, Wonky?
Doing good. Just trying to sneak in some games, but it's been a little bit difficult. But yeah, getting, you know, we got Adepticon coming quick. I know we'll talk about that coming up here, but it's creeping up.
It most definitely is creeping up here. I know that's been a very interesting topic for a few of us as we've been trying to get things ready, figure out what warbands we're playing, and doing all that fun jazz. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good week off.
Yeah. It's wait, you're taking a whole week off, Warren?
Well, yeah. I mean, with the way my work schedule is, it's a week off of work for me.
Oh, well, that's kind of nice then, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, I'm taking like 2.5 days, but I also have a way shorter drive than you do.
Correct.
Right. Because you're, what, six hours? I always forget.
We're seven and a half.
Yeah, so that's, you know, makes it a little bit more difficult. But yeah, when I'm only hour and a half, depending on time of day.
Depending on traffic.
Yeah, depending on traffic, which is pretty nice. So
yeah,
it's just looming, right? Mm-hmm. And the funny part is I feel like I don't have to really get much done for it at this point, but it still feels like,
well, of course you don't, you're just judging the tournament. You're there to be a TO and play games on, you know, for fun.
Yeah, no, I mean there's still some stuff to do, but it feels I won't lie, it's still stressful running the event because they're not small events, and these will be by far the biggest events I've run.
Sure.
So there's some like stress there, but it feels like a lot less stressful than like trying to like hone in a warband to destroy everyone with. So.
You know what else? It's a lot less stressful than an event and having to leave at midnight to get home for your kid's birth.
Yeah. So you know that won't happen this convention. So we'll be. We'll be good from that perspective. I won't have to, randomly leave it, you know, 12:30 and do a 5.5 hour drive. So that'll be good. But yeah, I mean, I'm super looking forward to it. I always love Adepticon, and I mean, I'm still trying to get some stuff done. I've been doing some hobby stuff, which is, you know, which we'll talk about coming up here as well. But
well, I mean, since you brought it up, let's just jump right into Hobby Corner. All right. Well, Wonky, what hobby stuff have you been working on?
So I have 8 tables worth of Treacherous, Smoke, and the 7-Hex combo done.
Damn!
Yeah. So I did that tonight while playing a playtest game.
Okay.
And, and then spent some time after. So I've gotten probably roughly about 10-ish tables of stuff primed, and I am slightly kicking myself.
Okay.
What is a pot of like GW paint cost? Like just the base color stuff.
Just the regular pots. Yeah. It's like $455.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's after tax.
Yeah. So I should have. So my plan originally was to spray everything.
Right.
And I got Krylon like paint and primer.
Yeah.
That's like a more durable kind of paint. And I initially thought like, oh hey, I will save myself money by only buying like gray. Two colors. Gray and green.
Sure.
Green for forest, gray because I'll do all the walls and effigies gray.
Sure.
Just leave them that gray. Green because of all the forest templates, and then I would paint the other pieces of terrain.
Sure.
Which didn't take super long. I think like I got all this stuff done like an hour and a half ish.
Okay.
2 hours maybe, but again, I was also playing a game at the same time, so like.
Right. So if you'd have been without playing a game, you
probably. Yeah, it might have gone a bit faster.
Sure.
I'm using like a like one of those wide like dry brush brushes from like a Citadel, one that my brother gave me.
Yeah.
Because he gave me a bunch of paints and a couple of brushes because I clearly don't have that those kind of materials. but in hindsight, I wonder because the Krylon paint I bought comes in like a gazillion colors.
Sure.
Like gazillion. And I originally didn't, and I think each can was like $7 or $8.
Okay.
And now I'm wondering if, like, hey, I should have just bought each color I wanted and just sprayed them. Because, like, I probably should be using hobby paint. I probably should be using, like, other cheaper paint, right? Mm-hmm. Than, like, but that's what my brother gave me with some Citadel paints. So,
sure.
But I was trying to save money. And in hindsight, like, I could have just done this way faster if I just would have been. Because the idea. I guess I should backtrack for those that aren't aware. So I'm making MDF 2D terrain, and to make it easier to know what it is, I'm painting the terrain a color that roughly coordinates to what the vassal colors are. So you need, you know, a color for forest, a color for walls, you know, soul pits, monster pits, you know, clouds or smoke,
right.
Treacherous, rough, etc. So. But yeah, I'm starting to wonder if I just kind of went about this not the most intelligent way. And I should have just bought like a spray can of each color, and then I could have just like blasted the stuff with the paint of the colors I needed.
Sure.
The problem is I feel like then a lot of the cans left over, right? Because if you're only doing like one, you know, six or was it? So it's yeah, like 16 little 2 MDF hex things.
Right.
You're not really using a whole lot of paint.
Yeah.
And I need a lot of colors. Because if we look at the thing, so you need forest, obstruction, wall, smoke, rough, treacherous, teleporters, soul pit, monster pit, and shrine. Right?
Yeah.
So each of those are a different color.
So it's like 9 or 10 colors.
Correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it's 10 colors, right? So that's 10 cans.
Sure.
So I don't know. I think in hindsight, I should have just bought the different cans. And then, you know, I guess the paint would be good for a while if I decided to expand to more tables or something.
Well, sure. But I mean, you also didn't have to then spend, even if it's $8 a can, you correct. Didn't spend $80 on it. You.
Yeah, right. So I'm like way under that. So I think I used, I mean, it was quite a bit because I had to do kind of 2 coats
sure.
to go over the primer, which probably also means I should try and find cheaper paint than like Citadel paint. But that is, but either way, I guess for, and especially from speed purposes, right? Like if I would have sprayed it, you spray it, it dries, it's done, like you're done with it. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I don't know. I kind of wish I would have done that in hindsight, but I've got the first chunk of it done. I'm hoping the next couple of days I'll kind of just trying to batch, you know, do one color at a time.
Yeah.
So probably the next one I'll probably do will be, let's see, probably rough terrain. Cause then I'll have a couple of those, and then, like teleporters, I'm going to do 2 colors. Yeah. You need to do 2 colors for teleporters. But it's working through it. It's going. I think another couple of nights I'll probably have it done. I don't know if I'll get it all done for Adepticon. I wouldn't hate to try and get it done for that, but
sure,
we'll see. I mean, I should need to bring it to Adepticon, but I might still bring them for Adepticon. So.
I mean, at this point, I don't think it would hurt just to have it there as a backup, just in case. But
yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of excited that I got a lot of it done, and then kind of nice to get through that. I know I debated, someone mentioned like printing off pictures or graphics and putting them on that. I kind of debated that for a bit, but that seems more work than just slapping some paint on it, because it was pretty quick once I got going.
That's fair. That is fair.
But do you have any hobby stuff you got going on? I mean, we're what, 2 weeks away at this point?
Yep, 2 weeks away from Adepticon.
Gotta be painted.
Yep. So my threes team is almost done. Because my commission painter is working on the like fourth or fifth model right now. So, and I gave him six to do, so I had one to sub in and out.
Okay.
So I think he's on the fifth out of the sixth models. So, that's pretty good. He definitely will have them done, I think, by Adepticon. So that's good.
That would be helpful.
I mean, I've got painted models if I really need to bring. So it's not.
Are these ones that you didn't have anything painted for them, or what was the? Because normally I know you paint yourself, so I didn't realize you were going to having a commission guy do some of it.
Well, this one was. I've got some of the V1 ones done.
Okay.
And these were ones that I've already painted in V1 points, and so I was like, sure, here. Paint these, because I wanted him to be able to paint them on his stream to show off to, you know, his small group of people that that he streams for, and they watch him paint and stuff. So just another way for me to be like, hey guys, here's some exposure, you know.
Yeah.
And I like his paint style. I think it's a good one, so I'm not super worried about it this year. My goal was to just get myself able to go to Adepticon to play, relax, have fun, not like stress myself out with painting, because I've got a lot of other things on my plate right now.
Okay.
So I have been doing some painting though myself. Like I actually, two nights ago got hit with a major bout of insomnia. And was up till 4 a.m. and I finished a Squire Isabel.
Oh, nice.
So, after talking with Corey and playing a game a couple days ago, he told me about a character that like he kind of painted her up as. I looked at the character, was like, oh, that's kind of a cool thing. And then my brain immediately clicked to, that's very similar to like the Attack on Titan scheme and outfit for one of the main characters.
Okay.
Those are good colors. Why not just do that on your Squire Isabel? And so I very similarly did something for her with color-wise to get her done. And she is done now. So that made me very happy, because she was one I was considering putting in a list. So now it's like, okay, she's done. I don't have to worry about it
anymore. Yeah, she has been popping up in a lot of lists. I feel like out of God, just for, I feel like she's everywhere right now.
Why do you think that is?
Couple of reasons. Okay. I think she provides some really good healing. Mm-hmm. She kind of can be work as a backup Soul Gazer at Soul Harvest 5. Mm-hmm. I think she's got really strong levels. I know when I've been playing Ista, I've actually been leveling her a lot first. Yep. Because going holy is really good. Getting her to three holy is kind of wild.
Yeah.
Retribution path is good depending on the board and your opponent. I don't know, she's just really strong. Like, she's one of the reasons why I've been enjoying playing Ista as much when I have been playing it lately. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was a big Isabel fan in V1.
Right.
Like, I played her a lot in V1.
Yeah.
Without the God stuff, because she just feels like she just does a lot of things.
That's fair.
And yeah, I feel like she can slide into a lot of lists, and I think we're gonna see a lot of Isabel and Adepticon warbands from what I've been seeing on Discord. And I think a lot of that won't even be necessarily in Ista. Like, you'll definitely see her in Ista, but I think you'll see her. I've been seeing her a lot in Bruellen warbands. Mm-hmm. I think you could see her in Torin. I don't know if she quite fits Torin as much. I think there's some other good options in like a similar role, primarily Bastion, right? So I guess if you wanted to like protect a Bastion ban, maybe bringing in Isabel. But yeah, I've seen her a lot in Bruellen lists as like a backup Soul Gazer to Cruel, giving some durability to Bruellen. Yeah, and I've played her a bit in Gruul. I used to play her a lot because the Mass Restoration was really strong when you're playing a lot of Minotaurs.
Right.
You can kind of be like, oh, you have Alendir and you put a bunch of Sunfire. Well, I just Mass Restoration and don't give a shit.
Right.
So,
yeah, nope, that's very true.
And then she was also base melee 7 in V1, so, like, that also, I think, let her do a bit more without having to go retribution route.
Sure.
Because I'm still surprised she hasn't moved back to that. I think of all the other changes they did to her, I think that that would have been a better one than some of the other ones. But
no, that's fair.
Yeah.
So I got her done. And then I actually primed the fantasy version of Alendir.
Okay. Yeah, that was the con exclusive from last year.
Yep. I primed him, and then I built and primed Victor, Algarath, and Dorg all this morning. So
yeah, I feel like you have a high probability of playing Victor.
Well, I mean, he's a model I've been waiting for a while, and considering at this point my probability of playing Fazeal is probably pretty low.
Because you won't have him painted, or correct. Just not okay.
I just haven't felt like I could get my painting skills to where I want to right this second to paint him and do justice to him the way that I want to.
Yeah.
So I've kind of pushed him on the back burner, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'll work on him after Adepticon. And that way I don't have really like a painting time frame that I'm stuck on, right?
Yeah, that makes some sense. But, so does that rule out Tomas for Adepticon then?
Realistically, probably for me, but I, you know, never say never. I may not get another inspiration of Insomnia and
just crank it out.
I mean, literally, I cranked Isabel out in 2 sessions of, I think, like grand total of 8 hours, like between the 2 sessions. So, I mean,
okay.
And I'm like, I'm fairly happy with where she's at. So, Fazeal, never say never.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, so that's my hobby progress. Is I got her done, and then I got those 4 primed and ready to hit the paint table. So.
All right.
Yeah. So with that, I think that brings us to a close on Hobby Corner. So let's jump right into Judgment News. All right, Wonky. We talked about it in Hobby Corner. We talked about it in the intro. Yeah. We're beating it like it's, you know, a dead horse, basically.
Yeah,
Adepticon. Because I mean, it's 2 weeks away.
It is 2 weeks away, yeah. So March 20th through 24th. We're going to rip through pretty quick this time in Schaumburg, Illinois.
Yep.
We've got a threes event on Friday. The seats have been moved up to 30, but there is still a kind of lengthy wait list, I think.
Is there?
Yeah, I don't know if I can technically share those numbers with people.
No, yeah, don't.
I have access to them, but like, there's a sizable wait list for that one.
Cool.
Fives is also sold out, but that one has a way shorter wait list. But Saturday is a pretty competitive day for events. It's actually something I'm kind of been spitballing around if for next Adepticon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if moving the fives to Friday
mm-hmm.
would be good, and then move threes to Thursday. I think from an attendance standpoint that might be better, but from a travel standpoint might be worse,
right?
Because not everyone that goes to Adepticon is there the whole time,
right?
But Saturday feels to be just jam-packed with events that maybe moving it to Friday or something. I don't know. It's a thought. Otherwise, the other option might be to do multiple fives events.
Yeah.
So do like a threes on Thursday, do a fives on Friday, a fives on Saturday. Cause clearly it looks like we are, you know, we're at 32 right now. Who knows what we could be, you know, if we had a Friday, I mean, one as an option. So
you're at 32 right now with a wait list.
Correct. So, you know. We'll have to kind of feel that out, but that might be something,
mm-hmm.
For next year that we kind of look at is maybe doing 2 waves of fives.
Makes sense.
So we'll see.
Yep.
It kind of depends on how they want to run the auto qualifier stuff too, right? Because the I believe number 1 and number 2 auto qualify for the Invitational at LVO.
Yeah, I
And
believe
if
so.
you do have it 2 days, you might split, so it's two smaller events versus one bigger event, and I don't know if quite if that's how they'll want to do it.
Right.
And then the other thing, too, is if you're getting auto qualifier spots, it might be weird if you say, okay, so each event is a qualifier, and each winner auto qualifies, but then if you play in one, can you play in the other? And how does that work for ranking points? That might get a little bit weird.
Yeah.
So maybe, well, I don't know. It's just something that I've been kind of thinking about a little bit as we approach. But yeah, so yeah, as a reminder, painting required. Monsters and effigies don't need to be painted. I'm considering them terrain. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yep.
The packet's out there. Longshanks is out there. So you can register for all that right away.
Yep.
Yeah, if you still want to try and get in, I would get on the wait lists. If people drop, you got, like, they offer it to people on the wait list first. And I've got to go by wait list on day of. So that is Adepticon.
There we go. So then the next event we've got coming up is GamesCon in Canada, right?
Yeah, so this one is a bit further out, but I do bring it up because a post on it on the Discord.
Yeah, they're post on it on the Discord. And let's be real, getting to Canada at any point in time is still something that, I'm sure for a lot of people, it's a task. So it's good to start planning that out ahead of time.
Yeah, and I haven't heard of this convention before, but I'm not very familiar with Canadian conventions. But yeah, so it's June 14th through the 16th in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
There is a post on the Discord, I think, with like a Google form where they're trying to feel out interest levels.
Gotcha.
And then they might run some events there. I think Creature Caster has a presence at this con already, and I think that's why they're trying to get some judgment going there.
Would make sense.
So we got that one. Yeah, that one's a bit further out. That's in June. Mm-hmm. And then, Fabius, what's the other one that's getting some discussion lately?
The other one that's been getting some discussion lately is the Nova Open, which, of course, is, to me, is no surprise because they did do a judgment event last year at Nova. And this year, it's August 28th through September 1st. It's in the Washington, D.C. area. And again, they're starting to feel out that and look for interest because obviously, I mean, August is still, you know, it's not in the next couple of months, but it's good to feel that interest out now and figure out who's all going because I know several of the guys on the Discord are out in that area. And so that's not like a super hard travel thing for them to do.
So. Yeah. So I know they've ran, I think last year's Nova ran some stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they've got a thread going on the Discord. It looks like they're going to run a Saturday night event.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it looks like, they're pretty tight on space, but it looks like they might be running an overnight event. Okay. And that's because maybe a lot of these cons, I'm assuming they start planning, you know, well months in advance. This one's still 5 months out, but it sounds like Tablespace is already at a premium and that's when they could run it. But I guess it sounds like, hey, if they sell out this one, then next year that, you know, they can have a bit bigger presence or something is what it seems like some of the discussions are. So it looks like Nova will have judgment. It will maybe have one of that one nighttime event, and then I'm assuming pickup games as well. But I have no idea what Nova has for like open play areas because I've never been to Nova.
Yeah, and neither have I. So I mean, who knows for sure on that one?
Yeah. But yeah, the Nova. So it seems like we're trying to get a little bit of a presence at a couple of cons. I know. I feel like people have asked about Gen Con. I don't know if Creature Caster goes to Gen Con. I also know Gen Con, I feel like, is a lot more of a, like, I know there's tournaments there, but I feel like Gen Con's always been more like a buying convention than like a playing convention.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what people say. I mean, I haven't been to Gen Con in quite a while now because it is outrageously expensive from my understanding.
I've actually never been, so.
Yeah. The last time I've been to Gen Con is when it was still in Milwaukee. So I'm still sad it moved. But
fair enough.
I guess Indy's a good city to host that kind of stuff. But yeah, I know like hotels get price gouged. Like I guess food goes wild. Like restaurants gouge prices. Like I guess it gets really wild around Gen Con. So I'm not as interested as going to that one because I'd rather play than shop.
Yeah, that's
no, and that's mostly fair. What Gen Con is. It's like, yeah, I think I'm good.
No, that makes sense to me. So, well, Wonky, do we have anything else about these cons that we need people to know about yet?
The only thing I would bring up is if you are running a con or a smaller con, I think I've heard of a couple of smaller ones that aren't, you know, quote unquote national conventions. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be running, you know, events at, you know, let us know and we can put it up in the podcast.
Yeah.
And broadcast it out to people. I think there's like a smaller convention in Kansas City there. I forget what it's been called, but it's in like June or July, I think it is. It's like a small, like, I think it's just like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type thing.
Gotcha.
In Kansas City that, obviously with those folks jumping in as much as they have, I believe they'll have some events there of some sort. And I haven't heard of any other cons, but I usually just stick to Adepticon and Warfare is kind of what I've historically done. So
yep.
I don't make it out to a whole lot of other conventions.
Yeah, that's the same for me. It's really hard with, you know, work, everything else to score anything besides like those two, it seems like. So
yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the thick of the episode for the night, which we're going to take folks back to the Enter the Dojo. Wonky, I know we mentioned it earlier. We mentioned it in the news. We're 2 weeks away
people
from
Adepticon. People are getting sick of it.
Yeah, I'm sure people are going to get sick of it. So good news, people. There's only 2 more weeks, you know, which realistically means only probably 3 more episodes of hearing about it because it'll be, you know, a couple talking about it leading up to, and then we'll probably talk about it afterwards, right?
Yeah.
But obviously with us being 2 weeks away, it's probably a good night to, or a good time to start discussing some Adepticon warbands that we might bring. Obviously, you're not playing, but if you were, it's always fun to hear what warbands that you've thought of. And then, you know me, I'm a very spontaneous guy. I'll be like 2 days before Adepticon, go, oh, I've got these painted models and they could make a really cool warband. Done.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one of the warbands you've brought up that you would take to Adepticon.
Yeah, so I've got probably 2 that I feel like if I was playing an Adepticon, I would kind of look at. So the first one is Gruul, to the surprise of no one. Now, I play a lot of different Gruul builds. I've got like the Herd. I've got my goofy hybrid one that's been pretty fun that I wouldn't mind playing. But that one's kind of goofy. But this is one that I've kind of played it a couple of times. And it's one of my first warbands when the Staff of Gruul changed that I wanted to give a try. And I kind of was swapping a few spots, but it's kind of like the quote-unquote fire build is what I like to call it for Gruul.
Makes sense.
And so the warband is Dolnragar, Gendryss, Loribella, Drelgoth, Thorgar, Astariel, and Lugdrug. Loribella used to be, I forget what it was, probably Piper, I think.
Yeah, it was Piper.
I think it was Piper before when the Staff of Gruul first changed. And now I've moved Loribella in because I just love Loribella. She's a very fun model to play. Piper might still work a bit better.
Maybe.
Just because it gives a little bit more soul gazing bonus, another good staff target, and just gives you some more general utility. However, Loribella can be a pretty, gets a lot of ban heat, so that can let you play kind of more the fire style of the warband. Typically, the games I've played with, as I've played a handful over the last couple months, Astariel does usually tend to eat the ban, which then means I drop Lugdrug. And then I get to play Dhonargar, Gendrys, Lurabella, Draugoth, and Thorgar, which feels pretty good. It's got a lot of different flexibility. I think the big thing that I like about it is there's no, like, hard and fast to find who kind of needs your level and your items.
Okay.
With this build. So I actually played, I think it was Monday night, I played a game against Gamer Dad with this warband. I think that's what it was. Some of the closest. And I'm pretty sure he banned Astariel. I'll drop Lugdrug. And then, like, I put staff on, I leveled and put staff on Thorgar. Or no, I leveled Draugoth and put Armor Shredder on Draugoth. I think I bought staff on Thorgar.
Okay.
But you have a lot of options. So you kind of can put staff between Draugoth or Thorgar. I like it on either of them. Draugoth, he was playing. I'm trying to remember what he was playing now. Was he playing Ista or something? Anyways, I feel like I really needed
Armor Shredder on Draugoth.
I think he had like a Dhonargar. So I was like, I'm just going to wail on him a bunch with Empower plus Armor Shredder to just, you know, chunk through him. And then Thorgar is pretty good for the staff. I really like this warband a lot. The other thing too is, like, some people have been rushing the Tome on Gendrys to get her to summon Terras early in the game. Not as big a fan of that as I mentioned in the last podcast for Gruul. But a thing I've been testing out a little bit sometimes is getting Gendrys a Ring of Power to try and get more value out of the Lightning Bolt. Or, you know, Heartseeker for Lurabella to get more value out of her gun. It kind of depends, but it doesn't feel like you have to, like, I feel when you have Yorgoth, like, you must get Yorgoth to level 2. Like, that has to happen your first turn.
Sure.
Just because he's okay at level 1. He starts to get good at level 2, and then he kind of, like, ramps up to being bananas at level 3. So, like, the faster you get him there is kind of important. And that's kind of what's nice a bit about Draugoth and Thorgar is, like, a damage dealer package is, like, they like levels, but they don't require levels.
Right.
Which is kind of nice compared to, like, the Yorgoth. And then what's also kind of nice, too, is, like, the monster game on first turn is really strong, right? So I'm assuming most games Astariel is getting banned, and then I typically will drop the Lugdrug, as, like I said. I mean, I could also bring Lugdrug in and do, like, a Thorgar Lugdrug ward, and then you also have Dhonargar, and I just don't know how you ever kill Thorgar then. So that's also, you know, if you drop, you know, Lurabella or Gendrys, which I'm usually not super keen to do.
Right.
But the big thing is, I think there's 2 or 3 maps now where you have you have to charge 6 hexes to get to the monster.
Yeah.
So Gendrys kind of fixes that for you. You just slap find a path on whoever needs to get there. And they don't have to, you know, walk charge someone to hope for a push, or walk charge and walk charge, you know, the model to get the kill. Right. So it feels like it opens up your first turn a bit more. And it's actually something when I don't play Gruul, I feel like I'm missing a bit for some of these 5-hex monsters, or monsters where you got to go through woods to get to them, or, you know, you don't have that. I just slap find a path on it and fix it up.
Sure.
So I've kind of liked that from the, like, it feels like it's got a strong dynamic opening turn where I don't feel like I have to do XYZ thing every game. And I always kind of like having that flexibility, which is why I've kind of shied away from Yorgoth a bit, even though he can be pretty fun.
How terrible. Shying away from one of your...
I know. Cars. I mean, I could just also play the herd, which that might still just hit the table. And I might, you know, bring out all the V1 Minotaurs to, you know, flex my 54 mil Minotaurs. I mean, a bunch of them I got to run with V1 models anyways, because, like, I don't have my Gendrys and Zyvera Thorgar yet, so. Because, yeah, PVC is the thing.
Right, right.
All right. Fabius, what is one of your first war bands you're thinking about for Adepticon?
Well, so, I mean, the first one I'm thinking about is a Tomas warband if I get myself in gear, because it's Fazeel, Rakir, Marcus, Masuzi, Maltique, Styx, and then Dawnragar. This is the same warband I played at Warfare Weekend.
Okay.
I had really good luck with it at Warfare Weekend. It performed well for me. And I, you know, it's one that I kind of just know.
Yeah.
I've played it so much.
That always kind of helps, right? There's something to be said to, like, building a really strong warband or whatever, or seeing a strong one, but, like, getting very comfortable with one can be very helpful, too, so you just know how to play it in different scenarios.
Yep.
So.
It's definitely a warband that I built up, obviously, with, you know, the idea that if I get to play Fazeel, Rakir, Masuzi on the table, I'm very, like, comfortable with that because I have poison that I can spread around. I have the toxin then that I can use. And Fazeel's just a great champ to just charge in and do some of that hitting and laying down the poison condition ahead of time as well.
Yeah.
So, like, if I can get a decap off, it's a fantastic tool to have in my back pocket, but it's not why I play him. You know, Marcus is there to give me some extra defense if, you know, say Dawnragar gets banned. But I definitely will say that I think people are becoming more comfortable with seeing Adani on the table, which is something that I really like, especially now that we have, you know, Styx is back. You still have Masuzi who can do true damage through his stone form.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some good options to deal with him, along with even Maltique. It's kind of funny how much of a, like, my own warband plays into beating Adani.
Yeah, you've got some pretty good options there. Yeah, like Rakir with a shredder, right? Because you just need a solid to get poison.
Yep.
Like, Masuzi can easily apply it for him, too.
Yep.
And that those big chunks of true damage can be pretty rough on him.
Yeah. But, like, I've been very comfortable with seeing the Styx get banned, right? Then a lot of the times it's I drop a Marcus and I bring the Fazeel, Rakir, Maltique, Dani, and Masuzi.
And yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's a fairly comfortable warband to play as a whole, simply because the fact that, you know, you have Maltique who can sit back and do some blasting and apply stun and pin. Dani is kind of that center that you can pull hits away from the other guys. And then Masuzi Soul Harvest when I need him, and Rakir and Fazeel just do the damage.
Yep, seems pretty solid. Seems pretty in line with a lot of Tomas warbands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Maltique's a bit different. We don't see her a whole lot in general though. So
yeah, she's. I'll be honest. Part of the reason she's in there is because, she's a good band. She's a good target to have in the warband if you come up against Bruellen, right?
Yeah.
Bruellen tends to bring a lot of big bruisers that have a lower soul harvest value. And so she either eats a ban, in which case then I get to more than likely play Styx, which lets me kind of get free reign to move pieces around, do some other shenaniganry with that. Or if you don't, then I have the ability to play kind of a mix match of whatever else I like, because obviously I have tools, right? That's
yep.
Like, that's kind of the whole point of this warband I built for Warfare Weekend, was I kind of have a tool to basically be able to play into anything or almost everything I want. Because, like, even against a Tauren warband with range, right? You have the ability to use Marcus and throw up a wall.
Yeah.
And then it's like, cool, well, you can sit and shoot at me all you want, but I'm going to take my Agi 4 character and turn him into effectively an Agi 6. Have fun with that.
Yeah, the wall, I feel like it's kind of underrated on Marcus's card.
I feel it is too.
Especially in V2... where not everything can attack across a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, V1, what, walls were 1 inch?
Yeah, walls were 1 inch.
Wide, and a lot of melees were, you know, were 2 inches.
Yep.
So you could attack across the wall depending on, you know, people's proximity to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is easier to charge around him now because, like, the sidestep and the slalom and whatnot.
Right.
So, like, it lost that kind of value. But you can also just block off. You know, there's only six hexes where a model can get adjacent to attack you.
Yeah.
And you can block off three of them.
Yep.
So there's also that. I've seen people do it around, like, soul pits. I've seen do it around shrines.
Yeah, there's a lot of flexibility.
It's a very, very underrated thing on this card.
Yep. Well, and that's the other thing is that... with this warband, if, like, for example, I don't get my Maltique done, right? Because she's one, like I said, I've just kind of, I have her here. I'm looking at that going, well, I could do this, I could do that. But the inspiration hasn't hit me, kind of like I was sitting with Isabel last week.
Yeah.
I can very easily slot her out, and I could throw Victor in there.
Yeah, I think Victor would fill a pretty similar role, like that kind of ranged presence.
Mm-hmm. He's a good range presence, and then on top of that, he gives me some of that control aspect because of the fact of I can spend the fate, I can throw, you know, Algarath out, and now Algarath's running around going, taunt, kill me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really do like this, like the warband itself. The nice thing is that if I decide to go to that warband, even if I don't get Maltique done, I've only got two models I have to paint for it, which is Fazeal and, I guess, technically I have four if I throw Victor in.
Yeah.
But Dorgakon and Algarath, I think, are really going to be easy to get done with just, now that they're primed, throw some contrast over them, add a shade, do some highlights, done. Pretty simple and quick, so I like that warband as a whole. It gives me something I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty important, right? Like having that comfort level with it, you kind of know what to do with it, where you're not like debating what to do with your own warband, then seeing your opponents, and yeah.
Yep. So, but yeah, so that's kind of what I got for the Tomas warband. Do you have any thoughts with regards to that one?
Yeah, I think I've played against you on this with this warband, I think, once or twice, I feel like. It seems pretty good. There's definitely a couple of things you can go after for bans, but it seems like you have a pretty good, like, hey, if this is banned, I've got these tools. Like, I like it. It's just pretty straightforward, and... yeah, there's good redundancy there. Like, I look at the band, like, Sticks always kind of sticks out to me as a band just because it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Mazuzi as well, like the Diamond Armor Mazuzi can be a problem depending on,
right,
you know, when I'm playing.
You're playing into.
Yeah, because sometimes they've got good true damage, or like an Isabel that just doesn't give a shit.
That's
she
true.
She levels up the Retribution and then says, all right, I'm going Mazuzi hunting.
I believe if you level her up to Retribution against my team, she says, I'm going warband hunting.
Yeah, I mean, it's what? Just Mazuzi and Fazeal, right? I guess
well,
Sticks
she's,
can yeah, curse and Fazeal can curse. So
yeah,
it
she's
extra
getting
hit,
yeah, bonus damage against a lot of my warband.
Yeah. So, I mean, however, her level 3 is pretty strong in your warband. You have a lot of debuffs that you could bring, so
yeah,
getting the Holy Aura, but... yeah, I think Mazuzi, like, sticks. It's, like, Maltique's a weird one, because, like, some warbands I play just naturally have pretty good soul harvest values, and then yeah, it, like, okay, I don't really care about her nearly as much.
Right.
But yeah, like, Bruella, and you said, everyone's like a one or a two, and you're like, alright, she's just gonna have a field day. And then the pin feels so much more... impactful, right, with Bruella, because you're bringing a lot of melee presence, so once you start pinning stuff... it can be a bit more difficult.
Yep. And especially, like, one of the things that we've talked about in the past is because Tomas's warband bonus can reduce her, her cost to apply it, right?
Yep.
We've actually talked about that in the past of, like, you could do something, like, where you're looking at it and going, oh, cool, this is the turn that you as Bruellan popped your effigy power. Well, that's cool. I'm going to go ahead and start with Maltique, and I'm going to shoot that guy and pin them, shoot that guy and pin them, shoot that guy and pin them. Have fun. Your effigy power now is cut in thirds.
Correct. Yeah, it's pretty big.
So
yeah, I've liked her. The couple games I've played with her, she just has a lot of interesting rules on her card too. So that's kind of the, like, being able to do true damage is big at level one. I think it's her fate ability.
It is.
And then, like, the doing damage for after every hit or every additional hit's kind of nice.
Yeah. Doing those extra bits of damage.
Yep.
Because of the cerebral pressure. Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, right, is she's self-sustaining, too, because she has repair. She has...
That is nice.
And she's Pathfinder with steady, so it's like you can't even knock her down the first time you get into her. Just makes her a pain. So
yeah, but she has no melee weapon, so you can kind of be a pain to her too. Like
yeah, you absolutely can. So, all right. Well, Wonky, you said you had a couple of warbands. So what's your second one?
So my second one's actually one I played in the last league. So we talked about it a bit there, but it's just a warband I really like. So I've been playing Ista. I think Ista's really, really good right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways you can build it. I know some people like to go a lot more range heavy. Where they'll bring, you know, Astarial plus Alandir to kind of at least make sure you have a range presence. I know I'll probably swap Svetlana in quite a bit when she comes out into Ista, because I think with her durability and some of the other Ista stuff, she feels like a pretty good fit. But the warband is Dolnragar, Thrommel, Brock, Bernascus, Isabel, Astarial, Thorgar. Another warband with Astarial. I just feel like she's really good in the meta right now. Dolnragar's running rampant. Styx is all over the place. And she can just hunt those models and make them pay. However, she does tend to eat a ban a bit, which, again, I don't necessarily hate. Because then you kind of work around with what's left. Which feels pretty tanky and difficult to kill. And you can go like Thrommel plus Barney to have like double knockdown, which is pretty good. Dolnragar's, you know, with Ista healing is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And then with Barney, you know, it has no Soul Gazer, which is not super uncommon for me. I've been starting to trend a bit more towards bringing some Soul Gazers in to warbands a bit more just because of how some of the maps are. And I think, like I said, once Svetlana releases, I think she'll make a lot of my warbands. But it is Isabel at a 5, Barney's a 4, you know, Brock, Thrommel, Dolnragar are all 3s. So you have some okay options. But this warband is pretty damn tanky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like Thorgar's in there is like a covering a Brock. I think Brock and Thorgar tend to kind of fit in a similar vein with each other. Like they're low fate. You know, kind of requirement. They really like healing, which makes them good to bring in Ista. It does probably have a bit of, you know, weaker range game once the Astarial's banned. You have Barney that can shoot, and that's really it. His gun's not bad, but I think once Astarial gets banned, you kind of use Barney more as like a setup of like, all right, I'm just going to go in and knock something down, and then let Brock or Thorgar just finish it and murder it. So, Pretty standard, I think, Ista warband. The Thorgar slot I've seen is a bunch of different things. Like I said, I think there's been quite a few where they're running Alandir in that slot, so they get Alandir or Astarial.
Right.
And then you kind of ban out the Brock, but then you get like weird like melee stuff with monsters or whatnot. So I kind of like this version a bit.
Sure.
I haven't tried the Alandir flavor on it. That might not be the worst thing to try. So just drop Thorgar for Alandir. It probably pushes people into a Brock ban. Mm-hmm. I think I might swap to Marcus, though, instead of Dolnragar, I think, if I was going that one. Because I think if I was going or had the possibility for two strong range presence characters, I think I would want the knockdown that Marcus provides.
Makes sense.
Versus the Dolnragar. So, you know, run Marcus, Thrommel, Brock, Bernascus, Isabel, Astarial, Alandir. And then I feel like you'd eat a lot of Brock bans. And then you can drop, like, Isabel, Barney, one of your tanks, and then double range if you want. Or double tank, Barney, Isabel, and one of the range.
Yeah.
And then kind of treat Thrommel more like a damage dealer than a tank.
Sure.
And then you got, you know, Thrommel knockdown, Barney knockdown, Marcus knockdown. And then just kind of let Alendir or Astariel feast on whatever you knock down.
Sure.
So yeah, that's kind of my Ista warband. I think I would play with a couple of tweaks. I mean, maybe.
So
I haven't. Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was thinking I haven't played much with the double range, because I would normally when I play a warband, I tend to build it so that like, okay, whatever five I have left, I feel pretty good with, and I don't know if I'd really want to put Astariel and Alendir on the table. I think that's a bit more of an immunity mindset, but I kind of had that a bit in Veto too.
No, that's fair.
Because I know a lot of people bring like, okay, I bring double Soulgazer because I want to make sure I have one. And it's like, well, if you have two of them, I'm probably not going to ban it because you're probably not going to put both on the table, most likely. So I've always had a... Unless you're Krognar. Or depending on what it is, right? If some like Nias and Mazuzi are pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, not just being around for Soulgazing. But so I always have a bit of that mentality when I'm doing stuff. So I don't know if I'll do an Alendir or Astariel. It's been one of the original wombo combos in the game, even though I think I've only seen it pulled off like once in all the games I've played, just because I don't. Well, normally I ban one of the two.
Right.
I
mean, that's the thing. Is if
I play
one
a
of
lot
the two
of Minotaurs,
is getting banned,
so.
You're never going to see it, you know, really hit the table in a wombo combo. But then I guess it's also kind of doing what you want.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing with Veto sometimes is you can kind of bait out a ban. Kind of like I was mentioning with that Gruul Warband, right? So, like, the Astariel is in there because she's a good tool. But she's going to eat, I feel like, a lot of bans.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to kind of play what I'm looking for, you know, that kind of more standard Gruul Warband, which I'm fine with because it's got the tools I want, right? So I think that's an important thing when you're building a Warband is to think about, okay, what is my solo thing that I have? Because that's one of the ways people will ban, right? If I have a solo tank, well, then tank ban's usually not a terrible idea.
Yep.
So you got to kind of think about those things as you're building it. So, yeah, I feel like with this Ista Warband, I think you would see an Isabel ban when I'm playing a lot of Tomas. I think Tomas would not want to see Isabel, and then I do get the Astariel.
Right.
And then I get, like, Barney plus Astariel, which I would be pretty happy with.
Yep.
Because then, you know, you've got... Barney can kind of put out a little bit of fire for you. You got the knockdown, you know, then Astariel
and
can
you still
grab
got,
that.
Yeah. No, that's...
Grab Ring of Power and kind of just destroy shit. And then you can even be annoying with her and buy a Shredder. So when they buy Diamond Armor, they still lose armor.
Yep.
Which is fun.
So my question, you mentioned that once Svetlana is released, she's going to slot in here. Who's she going to slot in over?
I think she just swaps in for Thorgar.
Okay.
I think it might lean towards Brock bans, which I don't necessarily hate, because I think you can play like Barney, Isabel, Astariel, Zvet, and then one of the two tanks. You might go like a Thrommel just for more damage output.
Sure.
Because Isabel and Barney can both heal. You'll want some knockdown to go along with the Astariel. And then Zvet can kind of juice up the Astariel gun as well. So I feel like that's probably... I think you just drop the Thorgar and you just play around the Brock, you know, not being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even like one where you could be really obnoxious and like try and force your Thrommel to level 3 very quickly with the Tome.
Sure.
Which... gets kind of fun because then you're knocking down stuff and then everyone gets to have a field day, because one of these days I'm going to live the dream where like Thrommel dwarf tosses and then Barney gets to aim and enfilade like multiple people, put them on fire for a star one of these days. But yeah, probably just for the Thorgar. And then like, because Barney and Thrommel are good, can be good to monsters because of the knockdown. So like Barney's a really good setup piece for killing monsters. He's got a pretty reliable knockdown if he's charging. And then either he can finish the monster himself sometimes, or he sets it up really well for like your Isabel or your Thrommel to come and kill.
Sure.
So, yeah, probably the Thorgar, I think. Looking at it, I think I'll drop that in and kind of see. Other option might be one of the two tanks. So either getting rid of the Don or Thrommel, going solo tank. And if they ban that, you're pretty... I mean, actually, that might make more sense to be one of those two. Just so you have that extra melee damage if you really wanted it. Because I think Svet might eat some bans then, and then your solo tank. So I feel like people could actually, if it was like Thrommel, Brock, Barney, Isabel, Astariel, Svet, Thorgar, which is, man, that's a lot of dwarves. You would probably, I mean, you could, I could see Astariel bans, I could see Thrommel bans, I could see Svetlana bans at that point.
Yeah.
So, and then it probably becomes Marcus's solo tank for a more reliable Nocturne. I don't know. But Zvet probably could go for Thorgar or one of the two tanks is what is where I would put her, I think.
Makes sense. So I was just kind of curious as to where you were at with, you mentioned her being in your list when she comes out. Yeah, so it's like, I think, well, she'll, who are you going to drop?
Make a bunch, I think she'll make a bunch of my warbands. Well, I'm playing a lot of Gruul and Isto, which is what she is. So
look, you're also, a, you know, you love your dwarves. And yeah. I mean, I know I'm going to get to play against her some around here because Watts, my buddy that's here, he's just as, you know, fanatical about dwarves and minotaurs as you are. So so that'll be fun. So
yeah, yeah, me and my dwarf minotaurs. And that's actually, I mean, kind of how this warband started. I've got a couple of Istiv lists where I'm like, just taking a whole bunch of minotaurs and dwarves just in Ista versus Gruul and just kind of seeing how it worked. And then Astario just feels just really good into the meta right now. Like Styx is kind of everywhere, and I think she's really good into Styx. I mean, she's pretty good into most things, I feel like.
I mean, the fact that she has a natural armor shredder, she has the ability to apply fire, which stops healing, you know, and then she has a fate to just go explode for minimum 3 damage.
Yeah, and I think the other big thing too is she's got the place where she can be.
Yeah,
she's so like she doesn't have a melee weapon like, you know, Maltique also does, and same with Zim, and like Maltique just kind of eats the, you know, the parting blow, and then, you know, she's steady, so that first triple J doesn't work on her.
Yep.
Right. So you don't have to kind of worry about that necessarily, and then she could just self repair. I know a really strong thing people used to do in V1 was, like, get Allendeer a Heartseeker.
Yep.
Or not Heartseeker, Bloodsucker, excuse me.
Oh, Bloodsucker, yeah.
Because you're like, oh, you're only going to get a couple dice on a parting blow, so I just walk away, and then I shoot twice, and I heal up for whatever you just did me in the parting blow.
Yeah.
Now, parting blows are a minimum of 3 dice now, so it is a little bit different. So there is at least the risk of knockdown. But, right, you're only rolling a couple dice. If you only, you know, solid him for 3, and then he shoots twice, you're probably healing the 3 back up. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you got to get him a defensive item, and usually people are going to start with a Heartseeker to make damage more consistent, so you have to have a second fate when you get him an item buy, and range characters historically don't get the greatest amount of item buys, just true, based on how monster killing works. But yeah, it's... It would be interesting to see the Heartseeker there. But yeah, I mean, and he even still has a melee attack to push away, right?
So yeah.
The Astariel doesn't, but when she's got the place, you don't take the parting blow. You can go where you want. And then she's probably the most self-sufficient range character at the moment.
Mm, yeah.
Because, like, Maltique needs some babysitting on occasion. You know, Allendeer is the reach 6, and he does have melee if he needs to. I mean, Ashel has melee as well, but, you know, the 2 action stuff's pretty
dicey.
Pretty hit or miss. Yeah, so like she probably is by far the like most plug and play just range damage dealer because of that.
Makes sense.
So all right. So I've got 2 warbands. So Fabius, if you don't play Tomas, you got a second warband you're thinking about?
I do. I've been playtesting one occasionally against Corey and a few other people. And it's a Bruellen warband. And currently the list is Zonya, Barnaskis, Cruel, Lugdrug, Thorgar, Victor, and then Isabel. So it's one I've been playtesting some, and I'm not sure how I feel about it as a whole, just because I've had multiple instances in the warband where I don't feel like even I don't feel as good about it as I do like running, say, the Tomas one, right? Because Zonya and Thorgar to me both are very, very dice dependent.
Okay. I mean, Thorgar doesn't feel very dice dependent. He just kind of does his thing, but
he does his thing, but he is dice dependent because if you don't get, if your dice just crap out on you, he doesn't do the job he's supposed to do, which is damage, right? That's really what he does in a list is he adds damage. That's why he's a 3-4-6. And when you know my luck with dice, like we had in our one game, I think that you played your Ista one, there was a like 13 dice Fazeal charge. Yeah. And I rolled, the best I rolled, I think, was a solid.
Yeah, something like that. It was it was comically bad.
Yeah, it was comically bad, right? And that's kind of the way my dice are. And so, like, I even had a game with Corey this last week that I played where I had a Zonya on, I want to say she was on like 7 or 8 dice, and she didn't get above a glance.
Oof.
Yeah. And so it was like, cool, this sucks.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those warbands that I've been playing. I do like the way that it plays as a whole. Mm-hmm. I'm just not, like, there's still a few key pieces that I'm still playing with to see how they feel messing with it. But I like Barney in the list. Obviously, he gets the benefit of the effigy power from Bruellen. He's overall, he's still a good, like you said, he hunts monsters well. He helps with knockdown. He doesn't feel bad to actually engage with. He just does a lot of really good things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Lugdrug, he's there to provide that ward. 9 times out of 10, it's to either Zonya or Thorgar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which, you know, surprise, surprise, the two big guys who, you know, run around the table.
Yeah, the big melee threats, yeah.
Yeah, the big melee threats. He's the person that does that. Surprise. And what's really funny is out of that list, I've been seeing Cruel get banned a lot, which...
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of look at probably Cruel or Zonya, mostly because, like, the Zonya kind of takes a lot of pressure out of your EP.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cruel is your only Soul Gazer. Bloodlust is so good in Bruellen Warbands that removing it as an option usually feels pretty good.
Correct. And Cruel actually to me makes a lot of sense as to a choice to be banned as well, simply because with me running like Victor, you can bloodlust a Dorg that gets summoned to the table.
Can you really?
It's just says model.
Oh,
at least last
but I guess the Dorg would have, yeah. I mean, I guess the important thing is the Dorg has to already be out on the table so you can go bloodlust
it. Yes, the Dorg does have to be out on the table. I'm actually going to check that because that was something told to me by somebody and I haven't actually had a chance to get it to go off because Cruel's been banned every time I've played this.
And the Dorg's got to last, and I feel like a lot of times...
Let me double check this real quick. Yeah, adjacent friendly model.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I mean, the model's got to be out there, but... It's one of those things that it's also not entirely hard to use Victor to put a Dorg out. And then while, yes, you want him to be doing melee, right? It's one of those things of he could also put him out and then shoot people.
Yeah, so shoot twice.
So. You've got the ability to shoot twice with him. But the other one that I found even more funny is the idea of bloodlusting an Algorath. Because...
Okay.
Being with an Algorath out, bloodlusting him, giving him the ability to charge in, hit somebody, push them, and then taunt somebody else. It's just kind of a funny thought.
Yeah, I feel like you would get more value bloodlusting a lot of other things than an Algorath, but I could see the possible use case for it.
Like I said, I'm not disagreeing. There's a lot other things that you would rather probably bloodlust, like a Thorgar, Zonya. But you have options, and that's what I think is actually kind of funny to me. But, like, I've played this list now with where I actually threw, I put Victor out just in case he didn't show up and I can't get him painted. And I actually threw Alan Deere into the list instead.
Yeah, slot. Kind of fits a similar slot. You want some sort of range presence to kind of force some engagement. So,
And I'm even toying with the idea of throwing Istariel into that slot.
Okay. Yeah, I think some range presence in Breland can be very helpful. Because otherwise, sometimes you can play a bit cagey, not wanting to engage. But something like, you know, Istariel Allendeer might force you to have to do some of that. And then you can let the melee beatdown commence.
Right. And I like the Istariel idea myself because there is a Barney in there, right, who can do some fire. There's a Lugdrug who can take a hit.
Can also apply some fire.
So I'm not, like, entirely against her. Plus, that gives, obviously, an actual armor shredder. Like you said, she's really good in the meta right now. But what's really funny is out of this entire list of models that I've been playing it with, believe it or not, the target I'm actually giving, like, the first level to a lot of the time is Isabel.
Yeah, her levels are very strong.
Yeah, and so...
And your Achille models will tend to get some as the game goes. And, like, Thorgard doesn't really require levels. I don't think Barney really does. I mean, Zonya doesn't hate him. But she can also kind of operate without items of it because she's at base melee 8.
Yep.
So it's like you need to get her the Vorpal necessarily like you would some other models. So. Yep.
And that's what's so funny to me is, like, that's the thing I liked about this kind of... with that I was playing with here is that I can actually feed Isabel that level, and if I need her to go Holy Path, I can.
Yeah.
And then it provides a little bit of extra longevity to some of my other models. And then of course her heal gets better too, right? Because as she gets higher level, her heal gets better. And there was actually one of the games that Corey and I did play. We both ended up pushing our Isabels to level 3 at the end of the second turn.
Oh, jeez.
And so, yeah, we both had just this tanky-ass warband that's just like, well, I've got some damage, but we've got Isabel here to...
Yeah, heal it up, basically.
To heal it up and keep stuff around. And, like, I'd throw a knockdown on him, and he's like, cool, well, I activate within 2. Clear it, heal.
Yeah, clear it, heal for 2.
And he's like, I'm going to throw fire out. Cool. Clear it. Heal. So it was just, yeah, it was kind of an interesting thing to see. But so, yeah, I'm not entirely sold on that one. But I have been playing with it and seeing where it goes. I've actually thought about swapping Thorgar for something like a Kogan even. But I'm not entirely, like I said, I'm not entirely sold on that as a whole. So,
yeah,
just playing with some ideas with it. So, do you have any thoughts about that one?
No, I mean, it feels pretty normal. Like I've seen Victor be Brock or Drogoth very commonly. So, like, because I've seen some scenarios where in this kind of a build, right, if you ban out the Thorgar, the Zonya, it minimizes like your EP. And I think the EP for Breland is like a very, very strong reason to want to play them.
Sure.
So I know that I've seen a lot of builds where I think it's, yeah, because Rogoth's Breland. So I've seen a lot of builds where you're taking, like, instead of Victor, you just do Drogoth or Brock. And then, I mean, that's a pretty, like, if you swap one of those two in, that's pretty standard. Like, three of those, you know, Barney, Cruel, Lugdrug feels pretty common to match with those. And then that last slot, I've seen a lot of different things. I've seen Allendeer in that slot. Isabel, I've seen in that slot. Trying to think if I've seen any other. I think those are kind of like, usually it's like a range piece for that last slot or Isabel to help, you know, for the Lugdrug band to kind of give you some tankiness or to kind of give you that backup Soul Gazer if they get Cruel. So Isabel just feels really good in that slot.
So, and I mean, even another one I thought about if I didn't want to run Isabel was Bastion.
Yeah, I think Bastion could be like, because Bastion, Isabelle, and Abruel and List are kind of doing some similar stuff. I think if you go Bastion, I feel like I would want Brock or Drelgoth though, because I like the extra benefit from Heroic Ballad.
Sure.
But I could, they right, they're both Soul Harvest 5. They both bring some healing. Granted, Bastion's takes a fate.
Yep.
They bring some ways to save models between Timebender and Isabelle level 2. They bring some condition removal, though Bastion's is not as consistent.
Right.
But Bastion is a little bit squishier, right? Because he's just edgy forward, no res.
Well, the other thing I look at is Bastion also brings suggestion.
Yeah, there's some value in that. I mean, I always know I cry a little bit when I see a Bastion on the side of the table and I've got like a Thrommel.
Yep.
He's like, I'm going to suggest in the Thrommel to bop your own Brock. I'm like, well, that's sad, and I don't like this.
This is a sad day for me, and I really don't like this.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's the thing is I'm also trying to utilize this to help me, in a way, like grab models that I know need to be painted
Yeah.
and get some paint on them. So that way I have that little bit of inspiration to be like, okay, work on this, work on that, do
Yeah, I
this.
mean, Isabelle is a good model to get painted. I feel like, I mean, I don't know why you'd ever play Ista without her. I
Yeah.
know there's some gods like you're like, yeah, okay, I can get by without the Avatar. Like Gruul, I think you can with Gendris a bit. I guess Tomas you could play without Fazeel.
I mean, you can, but
You
I don't
could,
know.
yeah.
That's another one of those I kind of go, would you though? Really?
I think I've seen a couple in the dojo without them because they don't like the undead.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's fair, but I don't know. It to me, that's one that I have a hard time with myself because I know what Fazeal does.
Yeah.
And like he's you and I've talked about it, right? Fazeal has been a model that has just kind of always worked for me. He's been
Yeah. He's yeah.
minus those couple games, he 9 times out of 10 performs the way I need him to.
Yeah, so I think so yeah, I think those like Isabelle or Bastion would fit there. Yeah, and they're, I mean, they're just good models. Like a lot of the avatars, I think, I mean, Gendris, I don't think you'd really see outside anymore because after the 2x change, used
Right.
to see her kind of in a similar slot in Bruel and is kind of like a helper,
Yep.
right? Like find a path for the distance was nice, and then the 2x reach. But yeah, I mean I've seen Krognar without Zarin too, I
Yeah.
guess, but which to me is still kind of wild. I feel like Zarin's really good in Krognar.
Yeah, I am not sure why you wouldn't.
But yeah, Isabelle, I definitely like if you're playing Ista and you're not using Isabelle, like you are having problems. I don't know what else to say to that one. Like that one, and like I guess Bastion and Tauren too just feels pretty common.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think Bastion and Tauren is a force multiplier, just like to me, Isabelle in Ista is definitely a force multiplier as well, right? Because of the fact of you get to heal one, you remove all the conditions, but then if she's within so many hexes, it's an additional one. So you're doubling up on that. Plus, she's got the heals, she's got her levels, which you're gonna give her, and then she's got fly and nimble. It turns her into a force multiplier that she can get around the table where you want her, when you need her, things like that. Whereas Bastion's force multiplier is he's just always giving that extra dice. He's got that condition removal you talked about, and he's got a good solid heal, and especially in Tauren, it becomes
Yeah.
free.
Yeah, that's the big part. Like I've seen a few times where people will Tauren EP pretty early just to get
Free heal.
the free heal online, because turn over turn, if you're healing, is it D3 plus 3 or
D3
something? I
plus
forget.
three. Yep.
Yeah, plus 1 per
Plus one for
level or
every level.
something.
Yep. Plus one for
Yeah,
every level.
like once you start healing some of that stuff, like it can add up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, when.
Obviously, the damage part of Tauren's EP is also pretty important, but the avatar bonus for Bastion just—I mean, if he's constantly bouncing around, upping dice, and then healing,
Yep.
That's pretty good for him.
Yep. So, but yeah, so that's the second list I've been kind of playing with, and it really kind of just depends on what gets
painted.
Well, it depends on what gets inspiration for me to actually paint it and get it done. Yeah. Because, like I said, up until last week, I really had been more focused on work stuff, you know, because personal life always has to come first.
Yeah.
But since then, things have calmed down a little bit, which is good. I was able to obviously get some paint on Isabel, got her done, so now she's ready to rock and roll. And then from there, it's just a matter of we'll see what else happens over the next week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because you're running out of time.
You know, I got plenty of time. It's 2 weeks. So. Well, Wonky, do you have any other final thoughts about the warbands, about, you know, the judgment events that are coming up, any of that such?
Not really.
Okay. So.
I think we covered stuff pretty good tonight.
Yeah, I think we've done a great job with that ourselves. So, well, guys, as always, if there are future topics you'd like us to cover, as Wonky said earlier, if you do have a convention that is coming up in your area and you are going to be helping to try and get a judgment event going on there, or you even want people to just know that, hey, it's a thing that's going on, please feel free, hit us in the podcast and streams channel, hit us up on a DM, do whatever you need to. We'd love to put it into the news section and let people know, hey, it's happening. If you do that, please give us the dates it's happening and the area. So that way we can let people know on those things. And then, as always, if there are other topics you want us to cover, warbands you want us to talk about, definitely send those to us. We'd love to hear from you. But in the meantime, get out there, play those games, have fun, and Wonky, let's portal on out of here.